You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
More evidence that your smartphone isn't nearly as private as you might hope. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. International news organizations dropped the results of a sprawling and detailed investigation over the weekend. It's called the Pegasus Project and found that Israeli surveillance firm NSO sold its software to clients who used it to spy on human rights activists, journalists, and politicians. One surveillance tool, called Pegasus, could infect people's smartphones, sometimes just by sending a text. It could collect emails, call records, social media posts, passwords, even activate the camera or microphone. Marketplace Tech host Molly Wood joins me with more context.
What we have found out through leaked documents is that this surveillance was, you know, much broader than anyone expected, and that it's been used to target people far beyond, you know, what we would consider traditional law enforcement targets, such as people who were connected with the late Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. And to be honest, I don't think any security professionals are surprised that there's been a misuse of this particular tool. That's actually something that a lot of security professionals have argued about and against. They've said, if you create a tool like this, it is going to be abused, whether you, you know, have terms of service or not.
One of the things that's been interesting about this reporting is that a lot of Apple phones were targeted in various places around the world. Apple has long marketed its products as being more private and more secure than, say, Android-based phones. What does this all mean for that narrative?
Yeah, I mean, this goes to show you that anything can be hacked. What I find interesting about this in the case of Apple is that Apple itself, when the federal government was pressuring Apple to create backdoors into its own encryption in the wake of the San Bernardino shootings, Apple's argument was, if we create a tool like this, there's no way that it will be confined to just use by our government for perfectly legal reasons. And they basically made the argument that is being proven today with this leaked database of targets who were victims of this kind of spying. It's going to happen.
And that did happen to journalists and activists and political figures all over the world. But what about people who maybe don't think they're particularly high profile? What does this mean for them?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing conversation. There are plenty of people in the world who say, it's fine with me if these tools exist because I haven't done anything wrong. So what do I have to worry about? And it is true that most of the people who are purchasing this software, in theory, are trying to use it for law enforcement reasons. It's clear from these leaks that there's been some mission creep, to say the least. What it means, though, is that, you know, a threat to anyone is a threat to all. For example, malicious hackers could get a hold of this software, try to reverse engineer it, and use it to steal people's identities at a broad scale. So while, you know, the company has tried to claim that the use of this software is targeted to specific individuals, you know, people of interest by law enforcement, the fact is it can be used on anyone, and we should really be asking ourselves if tools this powerful should just be allowed to be built and sold to anybody who wants to buy it.
Right. And a person of interest, you know, could be a human rights activist in China or a journalist in Turkey who, you know, maybe hasn't committed any technical crime.
Right. Or, you know, for example, we just heard a story about Facebook firing a whole bunch of engineers who were essentially looking up girls they were interested in using the company's internal tools. So there is a multitude of reasons that these kinds of tools could be used to spy on someone, anyone, whether that is, you know, an activist or a woman who has spurned someone's interest.
Can the U.S. government or other governments do anything about this? What responses are even available?
Currently, not very many. As far as U.S. citizens go, we do have federal laws that restrict the surveillance of citizens based on phone number. And that is apparently one reason that NSO has not necessarily sold a lot of the software here, although there are reports that this company has approached U.S. law enforcement. As long as a private company is out there creating and selling this technology, there's not that much that a specific country can do to stop it. Certainly, they can say that company is not allowed to do business here, but there are calls today for some sort of international moratorium on developing commercial software like this and selling it globally.
Is just the fact that anybody could hack into your phone just kind of the cost of using these products at this point?
It is probably long past time for consumers to understand that everything can be hacked. You know, we don't take security hygiene very seriously, as we see across platforms. We're careless with our, you know, bank passwords. We don't lock our PCs. We do everything and put everything on our phone, sometimes without even so much as a numerical PIN to protect it, let alone, you know, encryption on the device or other kinds of security that could protect us. You should protect yourself just like you would lock your door when you leave the house.
Marketplace tech host Molly Wood. NSO, the company that makes this software, disputes much of the reporting and says it's not responsible for clients who abuse the tool. But NSO told the Washington Post it will investigate the allegations. And now for some related links. The Washington Post and The Guardian both have extensive reporting from this project, with several stories getting into how the software got into phones and what we know so far about which countries used it and against whom. The Post has a particularly interesting piece on how hard NSO has worked and how much money it has spent trying to get contracts in the U.S. We'll have links on our website, marketplacetech.org. The Guardian also has an interview with whistleblower Edward Snowden, who argues there should be a global moratorium on international trade in spyware. And Amnesty International, which was part of the project, has a technical document on just how to spot when a phone has been infected by the Pegasus spyware. All this certainly has privacy implications, but like Molly said, the stakes are much higher for many journalists and activists living and working under authoritarian or autocratic regimes, where the government finding out what's on your phone could be the difference between life and death. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.